بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. I start with the name of Allah. I praise Him and thank Him. I ask Allah to raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad and to protect his Muslim nation from whatever he feared for his nation. In the previous weeks, we talked about a great Prophet of Allah, a great messenger, one of the best five messengers of Allah, of Ulul Azm, namely Prophet Isa, Jesus alayhi salatu wassalam. And we mentioned his unusual birth, that his mother gave birth to him without being touched by a man, and he spoke in the cradle, clearing his mom from any fornication, stating that he was the slave of Allah, and that when he grew up, Allah will choose him to be a prophet, and that he will be given a book called Al-Injil, that he will be among the righteous and the good and kind to his mother. And when he grew up, he did not speak until he reached the age at which usually children speak. Then when he grew up as a man, he preached Islam, and many people followed him. He executed, carried out many miracles, extraordinary events that God has equipped him with to show his truthfulness. He could, by the will of Allah, he could cure the leper. He could cure the blindness of some people. And even he could bring some people from being dead to being alive. All by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we mentioned that some people believed in him, some people did not, even after he made a supplication to God to bring down, to send them down, a footspread that was a blessed one. Some people did not believe. Later, some people conspired to kill him. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made one of his students look like him exactly. And when then people came to kill him, they took his student instead of him. And Allah saved him from an opening in a window near the roof of the house. So Prophet Jesus alayhi salam is still alive in the second heaven. He shall come down to earth later and rule by the rules of Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam. And his coming back is one of the major signs of the approach of the Day of Judgment. So these were the main points of the previous lessons that we went over. So essentially, Jesus did not come with Christianity. Jesus did not come with Judaism. Jesus came with one religion, the only religion that all the prophets before him came with, which is Islam, believing in one God, one creator, Allah, being the one attributed with perfect attributes that do not resemble the attributes of the creation, and believing in the messenger or the prophet of the time. For example, Jesus called people to say that no one is God but Allah, and Jesus is the prophet of Allah. And Moses, when he came, also he called people to say, no one is God but Allah, and that Moses is the messenger of Allah. And similarly back to Adam alayhi salam. However, as we mentioned in our previous classes, we said that people were Muslim during the time of Adam, during the time of his son Sheth or Seth, and during the time of Prophet Idris. Then blasphemy showed up after the death of the third Prophet Idris. Then Noah came to call people back to Islam, and all these prophets showed up over time, bringing people back to the right belief about God. Inshallah, today we want to start a new chapter, chapter 29. The author said, may Allah have mercy on her, she said, righteous followers of Prophet Jesus. So today, inshallah, we want to just tell you certain events that happened with the true followers of Jesus, the ones who were Muslim and the ones who followed his book, Al-Injil. So one of those great followers of Jesus, alayhi salam, was a man called Juraij. So after Jesus was raised to the second heaven, his Muslim believers, you know, the followers, were following his book, Injil, and then they were teaching Islam. And these Muslims were persecuted frequently. Hence, they left towns and lived in isolated areas in the mountains to avoid the harm of the disbelievers. One of those followers who just left, you know, living in the cities and went into the mountains, living in small huts, small homes, if you want, was named Juraij, J-U-R-A-Y-J, Juraij. And one of the events that took place with this pious follower of Jesus named Juraij, that one day he was praying an optional prayer when his mother called him. You know that all the followers of prophets, means the followers of all prophets, were ordered to pray. Their prayer may not have been the same, means the same amount and the same time, but all the prayers, the salah that the prophets were ordered to do, they had ruku', the bowing down, and they had also sujood, which prostrating by putting the head, the forehead on the ground, just like we, the followers of the last Prophet Muhammad, perform our prayers. We do it 5 times a day, but the followers of prophets before Muhammad alayhi salam, some of them did 2 prayers a day and some of them did 1 prayer a day. So, but it has about the same format. Now, some of these prayers are obligatory to do. Means a person, the Muslim, has to do these prayers, or else if he or she ignores, neglects doing these prayers, then they deserve the punishment of God. And some prayers are optional, means a person is recommended, is urged to perform these prayers. However, if the Muslim chooses not to do these optional and rewardable prayers, the Muslim does not deserve to be punished, because they are optional and not obligatory. So this Juraij was doing one of these optional prayers, and while he was involved in it, his mother called him. And although it was permissible for this man, this pious man, Juraij, to interrupt his prayer, because it was optional, he did not respond to his mother's call. So his mother called him, Juraij, come to me, and so on. He just continued with his optional prayer. So instead he, as we said, continued with his prayer. So his mother was upset with him that he did not respond to her. And she said, may you not die until you see the faces of the prostitutes. She made this supplication against him out of her anger. She said, may you not die until you see the faces of the prostitutes. And Juraij was known for his piety. So some evil people wanted to tempt him to see him fail in his quest to obey God. It means this man was a pious, obedient man to God, but some evil people in the area, they wanted to tempt him and see him, according to them, see him fail in this test of temptation. So they had an idea. They wanted to send a prostitute to this man who was living by himself away from people. So they wanted him to fall in the trap of this prostitute so that people around him would discredit him, would just be angry with him and discredit him. His reputation would be marred. So this woman got dressed up and went to the secluded small hut of Juraij. And when she proposed the sin of fornication to him, he immediately rejected her and sought refuge with God. So she came to lure him into doing the illegal sexual intercourse, zina or fornication. And he cut her off from the beginning. He just refused to listen to her. And then he went to his hut, you know, and asked God to protect him, you know, from such a temptation. And when this, what we call this lady of the night, found that she could not seduce Juraij, so she did find a shepherd in the area, and then she had her fornication with this shepherd. As a result, this woman, this prostitute, got pregnant from that debauched shepherd, from doing that ugly act with the shepherd. When she gave birth, she continued to do her sin by claiming that the baby was from Juraij, from the pious man. Remember that he cut her off. He didn't even entertain listening to her. And then she had that act with this fornication with the shepherd, got pregnant. Now, after she delivered the baby, she claimed that this baby was Juraij's baby, that she got him from a relation with him. Now, and of course, she told the people of the town that this is what happened. And when these people heard that, they got, you know, like a reason now that Juraij would be discredited, that he has allegedly did this foul act of fornication and got this woman pregnant. So it means he does not deserve the respect. He doesn't deserve their, great respect for him. So what they did is, the first thing they did is they terrorizingly went to his small hut and destroyed it. So he had that small hut. The first thing they did, they went to his hut and put it down. And then they took Juraij himself and dragged him through the streets of the town, and proclaiming that he was not pious, and instead he was just a fraud, that he did this act. So when they had him, Juraij, of course, was innocent, but how would he, you know, convince such mobs, such, you know, chaotic people who are angry, who acted upon a rumor by such a woman without investigating, without talking to the other side? Because if you want to be fair about something, you have to hear both sides of the problem so that you'll be able to judge fairly. But these people, with the, you know, instigation of the other evil people, they managed to destroy the hut of Juraij, and they dragged him through the streets of the town. So Juraij, of course, could not do much about it at the time. So he said, may I pray two rak'ahs, two cycles of prayer? They said, okay, you could do that. So they granted him that. So after he finished his prayer, he asked, he addressed the newborn baby, and he said, boy, who is your father? And the baby was a newborn. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this newborn baby speak clearly. And the baby said, my father is the shepherd. The shepherd is my father. And when the people heard this, they stopped accusing Juraij of the act of fornication. They saw something which, of course, is unusual. To see a newborn baby speak up clearly, you know, stating that the shepherd was his father. And of course, this is not beyond the powers of Allah or the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before Jesus spoke in the cradle, you know, clearing his mom of the act of fornication when she brought him to her own people carrying him and was about 40 days old. And they looked at her and they told her, what's this, you know, foul act? Your mother and your father were good people. How could you just get pregnant like this without marriage? Then she pointed to him and he spoke. He said, I am, you know, Abdullah. I am the slave of God. God will choose me as a prophet when I grow up. He will send a book with me, Al-Injil. I will be good to my mother. And may God's peace be upon me when I'm alive and when I die. So this was another baby who spoke in the cradle. Before that, also another baby was given the ability to speak when they were in the cradle. When Prophet Joseph Yusuf was accused of, by that woman that he approached her, and then a child spoke that, look, if the shirt of Joseph was torn from the front, then she is telling the truth, he was attacking her. If his shirt was torn from the back, it means that he was running away from her and she grabbed him. So she is a liar, he's telling the truth. And when they saw the torn shirt from the back, they knew that Prophet Joseph was clear, innocent of the accusation of that evil woman. So those are three babies that spoke in the cradle that God enabled to speak while they are small, very small at an age when the child does not speak. And inshallah, we'll be telling you today about a fourth baby who spoke in the cradle. So when these people looked at this marvelous thing happening, that a newborn child speaks out and telling who his father was, they realized their mistake, that this man, Juraij, that they had known for a long time, you know, of piety and being good, obedient to God, etc. They realized their mistake, and they wanted to correct their mistake. And then they offered Juraij to rebuild his hut and make it out of gold. So just to compensate for the mistake that they did. And he humbly said, no, just rebuild it the way it was, as simple as it was before. So this man, Juraij, being a true follower of Jesus, being a pious man, being a righteous follower of Jesus, God, the creator of everything, enabled Juraij to perform an unusual, an extraordinary event which would clear him of the fabrication that they had done against him, that he was innocent of touching that woman. And such an act is called karamah, when a person, man or a woman, is doing the obligatory parts, avoiding all the sins, and then they do a lot of recommended acts that, like fasting days other than the obligatory days, praying at night, for example, giving a lot of charity, being good to people. When such people do all of that, the obligations, avoid the sins, and then do a lot of optional and rewardable deeds, these people become wali, become righteous, upright Muslims, and God may enable them to perform extraordinary events which would be called karama for them, for these righteous people. But at the same time, these unusual or extraordinary events would be called mu'jiza, means miracles for the prophets that those righteous people are following. So it means Juraij could not have performed this unusual, extraordinary event, making the child speak up, had he not been a true follower of Prophet Jesus, alayhi salatu wassalam. And this happened over history, that those true followers of prophets were enabled to do certain things that the physical laws, you know, are broken during such acts. For example, we mentioned in a very early class, Prophet Sulaiman, Solomon, when he wanted to the throne of Bilqis, he said, "Who would bring it to me?" A jinni said, "I will bring it to you before you stand up." A righteous human man, Asaf ibn Barkhaya, he told him, "I'll get it for you before you blink." And it was in front of him. So this was an extraordinary matter to bring a very large throne from Yemen to Palestine. Says, how could he have done this? Allah enabled him to do that because he was a true follower of Prophet Sulaiman, Solomon, alayhi salatu wassalam. And inshallah, when we get to the life of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which will be next, our next class, inshallah, we will talk about other companions of Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salam. So Juraij was saved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who does not let down his obedient slaves. When you are obedient to Allah, Allah will not let you down. Allah will give you support. And although you would be tested, you will may suffer certain times from different things, sickness, you know, fabrications, losing money, losing dear people. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will support this righteous person in this life and in the next life. The next one is, the author said, the people of the cave. The people of the cave. And this story that we will be mentioning is cited in Al-Quran. In the middle of the Quran, you have, you know, the Quran has 114 chapters. It's about 600 pages. So if you go to the middle of the Quran, about page 300 or so, you will find a surah there, a chapter called Al-Kahf, which means the cave. In this chapter, Allah tells the story of young people who were good believers and the unusual things that happened with them. And one of those followers of Prophet Jesus went to a city called Ofsus. And this city of Ofsus is in Turkey that we know today. Okay? You know, Turkey is a country that part of it's in Asia, part of it is in Europe. So Ofsus is in that country. And there was an evil king ruling the area. His name was Duqyanus. And this king expected all of the people to worship idols. He wanted people, he expected them that they should worship idols. And of course, this is blasphemy, because the idols are what? Are creations of God. Whether they are of wood or stones or trees or whatever they are made of, the material that they are made of is a created material. The people who made them are created. So how could they be, you know, worshipped? They are worshipped unjustly. Instead of the creator, these people were worshipping the created. So this man, this righteous follower of Jesus, he had worked at a public bath, and he was very honest. He was, you know, straightforward. He did his work sincerely. So the employer noticed that since this man joined him, his job, this his establishment, there were more blessings to the industry, to the work that he was running, that more money was coming, And although he had the same business before, now the business seems to be flourishing because of the presence of this employee. So because he trusted him, he put him in charge of the whole operation. That now you run the business. If I'm getting profit, then you know you run the business. So he did that. Now, one time, this good follower of Jesus, he got acquainted with some young men of the area of that city, and he took the opportunity, of course, as a good follower of Jesus, to do what? To preach, to teach these young people about Islam. And he told them that God does not have partners, that God does not resemble his creation, and then that these young people, instead of worshiping idols, they should be worshiping the creator of everything, God subhanahu wa ta'ala, the glorified. And these disciples now of this follower of Jesus, of course, embraced Islam. After he talked with them, and they believed in the message, and they became Muslim. And they had names. The names may not be familiar to us because they are from that time. I'll just say them one time and then not focus on the names, because the content is what we want to focus on. And the first one is Maksalamin Amlicha. Second one, Maratunis, Yan Yunis, Sazamunis, Dawananawanis, and the last one was Kashfitit. So you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 young people, and their story is mentioned in the Quran. They're called Ashabul Kahf, the people of the cave. Now, when these peoples converted to Islam, the news spread in the city. And then the news of the conversion to Islam of these young people reached the king, who was, of course, very furious. How could people in his own city dare, according to him, to worship other than the idols? How could they take a religion different from the religion that he was enforcing? So he was told about these, and that these young people now, they are mocking the idols. They're making fun of them. They're telling, you know, insulting them, talking against them, saying that those do not harm and do not benefit. They're just helpless. How could they be, you know, worshipped? So he summoned those young people. He asked that these people be brought to his court, and they were. And then he ordered them to leave Islam. He told them, if you don't leave Islam, I'm going to kill you. And these young people, of course, refused to leave Islam. They stayed firm, steadfast to the religion. And the king would have killed them immediately, the king, because they refused. So he would have killed them immediately if it were not for his feeling that they did not yet have mature minds. So it occurred to him that these are very young people, so they're not mature. So maybe if I talk to them, I would convince them to change the religion, to go back to worshiping idols. So he did not really execute them immediately after the refusal. So he sent them back to their homes to think about it. And of course, they were under the threat of being killed if they did not respond to his demands. So these people went back to their homes, and immediately after the event, the king traveled out of the city. He left the city. So these people, these youngsters, they took the opportunity of the king being away to flee the city and find somewhere else to practice their religion, their Islam. One of them exclaimed, he said, I know a cave in the mountain. My father used to secure our sheep in it. So let us go there and hide until Allah, God, grant us victory. So let's just go take a shelter there and then wait till Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us victory. And they all, of course, agreed to this suggestion. So the young man went out playing and rolling a ball in front of them so that no one would notice anything unusual. It means they wanted to leave the city. They don't want to make a scene. So they had to do it in a clever way. So they were playing like soccer, as they say. So like kicking ball. And the ball will go away and they run after it. And they run after it as if they are, you know, not leaving really. Just playing a game, running after the ball. And they, you know, managed to flee the city towards the cave. Now, while they were doing there was a dog called Qutmir. And this dog barked following them. So he just kept on following them. And they were worried that the disbelievers would notice that the dog is barking, so he's going to draw attention to them. So they were worried that the dog would do that. But so they started throwing stones at him, just leave them, just go away. And he would not be pushed away. So this canine just went, you know, would not be sent away or would not be kicked away by the stones. Finally, it raised its front paws to the sky as if it's making, you know, dua, as if it's making supplication. So when he sat like this with its front paws, then the dog talked to the youngsters. Means God made him. Enabled it to talk. And he said, "Oh people, why are you driving me away and hitting me? Do not be scared of me. I do not disbelieve in God." It means I'm not going to expose you. I'm just want to go with you. And then when these young people realized, of course, it accompanied them. And they said, "Oh God, grant us mercy from you and create good manners for us." So they continued walking until they reached the cave. Within the cave, they found fruits and water. After eating and drinking, they lay down to rest. And all the seven youngsters slept heavily on the ground of that cave. Now, God made these youngsters sleep continuously for years and years. They did not hear anything. Neither gusts of wind nor the sound of thunder woke them. They were just totally asleep. When the sun rose, it did not hit them with its high heat, a sign of their high rank. So the sun would rise and then its beams would not hit them, showing that they have a high rank. And when the sun rose, it moved to the right of the cave, as mentioned in the Quran. And when it set, it passed by the left of the cave. And that's why not much heat went into the cave on them. They were not hit by the sunbeams, neither at the beginning nor at the end of the day. As a result of that, you know, when you, I think it maybe shows on me, I have a little bit of tan because I was for a whole week in the camp. So, as a result, the color of their skin did not change because the sun was not hitting them. And their clothes did not get worn out. God made them sleep with their eyes wide open. If one were to look at them, means if somebody comes and look at them while they were in that state, one would think that they were what? Awake, just lying down because their eyes were open. With open eyes, their visual organs, the eyes, did not become impaired. So although they slept for a long time with their eyes open, their vision was not impaired as a result. Their eyes were exposed to air and did not suffer the ills of a lengthy closure. So they slept for a long time, as we're going to tell you soon how long they slept. So their eyes were open. So they were not closed, so their eyes were exposed to the air, so they could stay fresh, and their vision was not impaired. It was narrated that an honorable angel was in charge of turning them at regular intervals. It means if they slept on their right sides, an angel would come and turn them on their left side, and so on. He would turn them periodically around the year. And this, of course, what prevented their bodies from decaying. You know, so people who sleep on one side in the hospitals for a long time, they get that bed sores and so on. So they needed to be changed over that amount of time. Of course, I mean, God has the power to keep them safe and, you know, as fresh as they were, even without that act. But sometimes God lets certain things happen so that we learn lessons from what's happening. Like God created the heavens and earth in how many days? 6 days. So God had the power to create them in 1 second or less. But he created them in 6 days to teach us not to be, you know, rushing, what's the word, hasty in our business, because some people just like want to finish their business and go. So that's one lesson that the scholars told us we could learn, that not to be hasty in doing our errands. So this angel was, as we said, turning them left and right sides twice a year. This prevented their bodies from decaying. If one were to look at them, at these youngsters, one would be frightened by them and run away, because they have been there for a long time, so something may scare some people and could not approach them. Now, after 309 years of sleep, God made these youngsters wake up. And that's mentioned in Al-Quran, in Surah Al-Kahf, that وَلَبِثُوا فِي كَهْفِهِمْ 300 سِنِينَ وَازْدَادُوا تِسْعًا. That's 309 years asleep in that cave. So when they woke up, they talked with each other about how long they thought they had slept. How long do you think we slept in this cave? Asking each other. One of them said, I think that we slept only 1 day or less. And another said, we went to sleep this morning and now the sun is getting ready to set. So it means it's about a day, they thought. Another said, well, let's stop wondering. God knows best how long we stayed. So let one of us go with some money to buy food, because they felt hungry. So, and then they said that whoever is sent to the town, to the city, to buy us food has to be very alert and smart. No one should recognize him, or else he might be followed, and then the king and his followers, if they knew about our location, they would take us and kill us. So they tried to make us leave Islam and torture us. So they said whoever goes to the town has to be very careful when he buys the food. So in reality, this is 309 years. In reality, that king called Dukianus, the one who tried to dissuade them from Islam, had died many years before that. So another king had, you know, took over, and this king happened to be a pious Muslim now. The new king, the present king, was a pious Muslim, one of the followers of Jesus. Now, when we say one of the followers of Jesus, we don't mean that he was accompanying him. It means he's following his teachings through teachers. So the people of the city were in disagreement about something. Means the Muslims were there, and they were having a certain discussion about resurrection on the Day of Judgment. Some said they thought only the souls of people would be gathered on the Day of Judgment, and their bodies would stay decayed in the soil. Others had the correct belief, which means the bodies would be resurrected, recreated, and assembled on the Day of Judgment. So you had two groups. Both groups of Muslims, they believed in the resurrection, that there will be a day on which people will rise. But one group said only the souls will be, you know, resurrected, and the bodies stay in the graves, decayed. The other group, which is the correct group, they believe that all people will be resurrected in body and soul. It means the souls will be returned to the bodies will rise, and then they will be assembled to be, to face the consequences of their work, of their deeds. And those were, of course, the ones who had the right belief. So these two groups of Muslims were discussing this subject. Which one is it? Discussing it among themselves. So the king was upset because of such an argument among Muslims. And he made a request. He asked God to give a clear proof to the people that they would have, would carry the correct belief about it. So he was asking God to show a sign that these people would follow the correct belief about the resurrection. So one of those young people named Amlicha was chosen to go to the marketplace and get food for them. And of course he had to be very watchful. When he reached the city he was used to, which is named Afsus, he was surprised to see many changes. Of course, 309 years passed, so something would change. So he was amazed to see many changes. The area had been a wide, open grazing land for sheep. Now it's full of high castles. The sheep used to graze there. Now high castles were built. And the ones that he used to see during his lifetime were destroyed, were not there anymore. So in addition, he looked at the faces of people in the town. He couldn't recognize any one of them. I mean, small town, but still was not able to recognize any person then. So he became confused. Maybe I'm in the wrong place. So when he was in that state of confusion, someone noticed him, you know. And if you are in a town and you know people, if a stranger comes, you notice. So this person noticed that Amlicha was confused and he was a stranger. He asked him, "Are you a stranger to our city? What are you looking for? Means, can I help you?" Amlicha said, "I'm not a stranger. I just want to buy food." Means, this is my city. It's not like I'm a stranger. "I cannot find the place where I normally shop." The man took him by the hand and led him to a food store to buy his food. So Amlicha, what did he do? He took out his money, okay, and gave it to the seller, to the person at the store. When the seller looked at the money, remember 309 years, so when he looked at the money, silver, and this, you know, seller, the grocery man, he looked, it's ancient. The silver is very old. So he thought that this young man must have found a treasure somewhere, and he's paying for his food from that treasure. So of course, because it had the name of the king that died long time ago, so now they have a different king. So this man thought that, oh, now maybe he is an ancient treasure, so maybe he's keeping his wealth somewhere. So he brought some people around this youngster, and they took him to the king. That, where did he get this money from? Now, of course, remember the king was a Muslim king now, different from the one who had perished. So the king received the news of this young man before he arrived to him. And this king had heard a story from his own grandfather about some Muslim youth who had disappeared. So the king was very eager to meet this Amlicha, this young man, hoping that he would be one of those youngsters that had disappeared. Just a hope in his heart. So when Amlicha reached to the king made him feel comfortable, was nice to him, and asked him about his story. So Amlicha told him his story, and he realized that he and his friends, when he was exchanging conversation with the king, he told his story. He realized that he and his young people, his friends in the cave, had slept for hundreds of years. because they were discussing it. So the king was very pleased with these events that turned, and he addressed his own people. He told them, certainly God sent us, sent you a sign to show the truth of the matter about which you differ. You were differing about resurrection. Does it happen in soul only or in soul and body? Now, the story of these young people is a sign from God to set you on the right path about this matter. So the king and the people of the city walked with Amlicha to the cave, because, of course, they need to verify his story. So when they got near, Amlicha said, let me go in first, so my friends do not get scared. So he went in and told his friends about what had happened to them, that we have slept for hundreds of years, there's a new king, etc. He told them that King Dukyanus had died earlier, and the pious Muslim now, king, is ruling the city. So the friends, of course, were very happy with this news. Now they're safe concerning the religion. They went out of the cave and they greeted the king and the people there. Then they returned to the cave. Means they went out, greeted people. People saw them, the king specifically. And then they went back into the cave. When the people of the city saw that God made these youth sleep for more than 300 years, awaking, youthful, means they're still energetic and healthy, they gave up their wrong belief that the resurrection would take place only in soul. They now believe that God, who made that thing happen, has the power to resurrect the people on the day of judgment, both in body and in soul. So this is another story of some of the followers of Jesus, alayhi salatu wassalam. And there are more stories about it, and Allah knows best. Barakallahu fikum. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. لا إله إلا الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم